Wow. Okay. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 315, which ends with a 5, so it's a Shingon episode. This is Shingon Buddhism Part 11, in which we will continue reading The Matrix and Diamond World Mandalas in Shingon Buddhism by Adrian Snodgrass. If you would like to start at the beginning of the Shingon series here on Buddhist Books Podcast and the beginning of the book, you can click the playlist. It's right there. Okay, well, I hope everybody's doing well. There's been a little bit of a break, I guess, without further ado. Now, last time they were talking about the Vajra spikes. So I'm wondering if they're going to keep talking. I seem to remember that section ended, but I could be wrong. We'll see how it goes. Gosh, there's so many footnotes in this book, and the footnotes are like this, the same font. I think that we're starting this new section called The Mudra and Dharani of the Fence of Vajras. Okay, that follows, because last time it was the Vajra spikes, and then presumably they would make a fence. I was kind of wondering, like, well, how many do you put? Do you put 4? Do you put 8? It's a fence. Wow, that's a lot of Vajra spikes. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll just read and learn together. Next, the Sadaka once more secures the boundaries of the Bodhimanda, this time using the Mudra and Dharani of the Fence of Vajras. Oh, okay, figure 4, the mudra of the Fence of Vajras. Okay, so we did already go over that. And in Sanskrit, that's Vajra Prakara, and in old Japanese, Kongo Sho. And there's a footnote. All right, and it's not a horribly long footnote, so here we go. This is also called the Vajra Fence of the Sides and Corners, Hogu Kongo Sho. The boundary Vajra fence of the sides and corners. Okay. Hogu Kai Kongo Sho. The boundary fence, Shokai. And the securing of the four directions, Shiho Kensu. Alright. That comes up on Jeopardy. Is Jeopardy still a thing? Alright. The Vajra fence is formed by placing three prong Vajras side by side on the four sides of the enclosure, making the mudra and reciting the Dharani of the Vajra fence. The Sadaka visualizes the fence as emitting Vajra flames and forming a fortress of diamond firmness. Okay. Which is impregnable to demons of distraction. Oh! Wow! Okay, all right. This reminds me of something, but it's not horribly related. Okay. The superficial meaning, or jiso, of the fence is a barrier of flames that surrounds the mandala to frighten away Vinayaka, in parentheses, Binayaka, and parentheses, and other demonic forces that would disrupt the performance of the ritual. Okay. But in its profound and esoteric meaning, Jigi, not Jiso, it symbolizes the fire of knowledge of the three sections, Sanbu Chika, burning on the great ground of great bodhicitta. Okay, I'm going to stop reading every time there's the Japanese in parentheses, because I think it disrupts the flow. Innate within the body of the Sadaka and destroying the hindrances of the passions and the delusions. It is the firm and indestructible fence that secures and protects the pure bodhicitta. And then there's a footnote on pure bodhicitta, presumably. Mandalas, in the Sino-Japanese tradition of esoteric Buddhism, do not show this fence of flaming vajras, but those of the Tibetan and Nepalese traditions draw it in. Draw it in into the tankas, maybe? Draw it in, like you draw it into a drawing. Not draw it in, like you draw in a breath. That's interesting. Okay, and it kind of answers one of my questions that I had had, which was, is the Vajra spikes thing, does that exist in some form in Tibetan Buddhism? In the Tonkas, at least, if not in ritual practice. All right. The mudra is like that of the Vajra spike, except that the palms are open and face the body, and the two thumbs are extended apart. So let's... There's the one, apparently. There's the other, I assume. Then there's a footnote. As with the mudra of the spike, this mudra also has three variant forms that differ in the positions of the middle and ring fingers. The description given here appears in the Muryo-juki, the Juha-chikei-in, the Soshi-jiki, and the Dharani-shukyo. 8. It is the mudra most used in the Shidai. The Kanro Gundariki reverses the positions of the middle and ring finger of the two hands. Kobudaishi's Juha Chido Chidai says that the middle and ring fingers of the left hand lie above those of the right hand, and the Ashukuki, right? Yeah, Ashukuki, right, says that the middle and ring fingers are in the outer bonds hand clasp. Another tradition says that the two thumbs are to be held with tips touching the lower joints of the index fingers. All right. The mudra resembles a fence in front of the body. The two air or index fingers, the two air fingers, the two index fingers, and the two separated space fingers, the thumbs are the space fingers or akasha, right? Akasha means space or sky, are the prongs of the three-prong vajra, the two fire, or middle, and two water, ring, fingers are the lotus that supports the vajra, and the two earth, or little, fingers are the single prong of the vajra spike. The mudra associates the three-prong vajra with the vajra spike, and with the idea of spiking the area to secure it from demonic influences. The three prongs of the vajra are the knowledges of the three sections. When his eye of knowledge of the three sections has a luminous vision, or shogen, the sadaka enters the original state of the unproduced. Of all dharmas, and perceives the Buddha virtues of the three sections entering this state, all hindrances are swept away. The Soshi-jikyo says that to make the mudra is to erect a fence of three-prong vajras laid horizontally and head-to-head around the periphery of the enclosure. The horizontal vajra is the vajra of luminous vision, or shogen, seen with the eye of knowledge of the three sections, which vision encompasses all dharmas and the horizontal plane and symbolizes the inexhaustible adornments of the enclosure within the mind. The Gyoho Kanyosho records a complementary tradition which says that the mudra erects a fence of vertical vajras, which symbolizes the innate Buddha knowledge, the Honu Buchi, that pierces the deepest profundities of unoriginated principle. Okay? The Dharani that accompanies the mudra of the fence, of the Vajra fence, is Om Sara Sara Vajra Prakara Hum Fat, in which Sara Sara is firm, firm. Vajra Prakara is fence of Vajras, and the two seed syllables Hum and Fat are terror and destruction. The mantra means that all those who obstruct the ritual are terrified and destroyed by the firm, firm, flaming Vajras that fence the Bodhi Manda. All right. Just for fun, just for a little while I'm reading, I'll show pictures up above my head from my trip to Mount Koyasan, which is kind of where the heart of Shingon, where Shingon was established 1,200 years ago. Today, it would be 1,212 years ago-ish, or maybe 1,211, and next month it'll be 1,212. But at the time that I was there 1 week, accidentally, 1 week after the 1,200-year anniversary of the founding of Shingon. Why didn't you go a week earlier, you might ask? Well, because we were actually in Osaka, and it was my friend Saori who gave me, and later gave me, these hanging banners that belonged to her parents, as well as a kimono, some of you have seen on another program. Anyway, so on Facebook, we had some friends in common. We were both interested in the Source family in the 70s. Anyway, so she had said, while you're in Osaka, definitely take the train 3 hours north and go to Mount Koyasan. And so, just as someone who lived in Osaka, while I was in Osaka, I took her advice and went there and learned by discovering, arriving at, and going, wow, that statue of that monk has a dorje in his hand. What? Like the Tibetans. What? So I literally learned about the existence of Shingon by going to Mount Koyasan. So anyway, that was a random thing. Everybody has their path. That happened to be one aspect of mine, was going to Mount Koyasan and going, oh, this is here. This exists. Meditation on the syllable Ram is the next section. Okay. The boundaries of the Bodhi Manda having been secured, the next step in the matrix world versions of the ritual is the meditation on the syllable Ram, or Ranjikan. This is performed to purify the sadaka's proper and dependent rewards, or shu niho, or maybe shoi niho, because if these are not pure, he cannot obtain the siddhis, which are like magical powers, the occult abilities, like reading people's minds. The pure tradition goes that you accidentally attain the siddhis along your way to, you know, mukti and enlightenment and whatnot, and that you should ignore them mostly. Maybe once in a while you use them for the good of another on their path or whatever, but there's some folks who, for them, it's all about the CDs. And okay, do this, and then when do I get the CDs? When can I read people's minds and manipulate them into my own evil ends? That's called wrong. That's called, like, totally not how you do it. But it is one of the temptations of achieving the CDs along the way that has nothing to do with the CDs. That's, again, in, like, normal, like... Anyway, but we'll see how Shingon approaches it. The sadaka makes the mudra of the diamond hand clasp or the fire chakra seal and visualizes the syllable Ram in four places: the top of the head, within the heart, within the enclosure, and beneath the ground. The sadaka visualizes that the syllable changes into a fire that burns away the impurities, of the proper and dependent rewards of karma, his own as well as those of others. Ram is the syllable of the fire of knowledge, which burns away the defilements of attachments and delusion to reveal the original purity of all the dharmas. The Sadaka visualizes the syllable Ram at the top of his head because this is the highest point of the body and therefore corresponds by analogy to great knowledge, Mahajnana Dai Chi. The most exalted of all knowledges, he visualizes it within the heart, and within the heart because this locates the chakra of the element fire in the scheme of the proper rewards. Let's just play that brief little clip of MC Yogi's chanting of Ram. MC Yogi. I know nothing about MC Yogi. I don't know. Maybe he's been canceled or something, but I just remember seeing him on YouTube years and years ago. So hopefully Editor Edward was able to find that clip. Okay, the schema of the proper rewards. Figure 47 on page 224. Are we going to skip to page 224 all of a sudden? Yeah, why not? 224. All right, let's put that up on the screen. This here. Let's put that up on the screen, up above my head or somewhere. And he visualizes it within the enclosure, or Dan, which corresponds to the top of the head in the descending schema of the dependent rewards, and within the earth, which corresponds to the heart in that schema. The fire of knowledge burning at the top of the head and within the heart purifies the body of proper rewards. And the body of the proper rewards and its burning within the enclosure and the earth purifies the land of the dependent rewards. The syllable Ram, the syllable of the fire of knowledge, burns away defilements and thus returns both the proper and dependent rewards to the original state of the unproduced, or Hanfus Hosai. And there's a footnote on Hanfus Hosai. Oh, and I've been skipping footnotes. All right. So the footnotes we skipped, 18 was related to the syllable Ram. The Diamond World version of this ritual proceeds directly to the meditation on the Bodhimanda. In some cases, the Matrix rituals also omit the meditation on the syllable Ram. Okay, the Matrix and Diamond World mandalas is starting to make a little more sense. So these are two different approaches towards Shingon, maybe? There's like the Matrix Shingon and the Diamond Shingon. I have no idea. Maybe we'll learn eventually. And then CDs. The proper and dependent rewards of karma are described below page 224, note 18. Seriously? All right, I'll go search for that footnote halfway through the book. Page 224, note 18. That is his Dharma body and his pure land. As previously explained, the proper and dependent rewards are the rewards of karma. The proper reward is the body into which the being is born, and the dependent rewards, the external factors on which his body depends, are the world, country, family, and environment into which he is born. Figure 47, that's that thing. And then, well, Mahavairocana's proper and dependent rewards are perfectly fused in non-duality. So figure 47, it says here, the dependent and proper rewards represented by adorsed five Kakra stupas, okay. The upward pointing stupa represents the elements that constitute the proper rewards of karma, and the inverted stupa is the stupa of the elements that constitute the dependent rewards acting as the support of the proper rewards. Okay, interesting. So footnotes pointing to other footnotes. It's like, does anybody remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books? It's a a little like that, not really. Okay, the next is on the fire chakra seal. There's a footnote. The diamond hand clasp, or Kongo Gasho, or Gassho, and the fire, says chakra, but I assume it means chakra seal, fire chakra seal, are described below. By below, it means above and to the right. All right, good enough. And then there was, on the state of the unproduced, there was a footnote, the original unborn state. It is the pure mind of the self nature innate within men, and it is their original state of not being born and being unceasing, end quote. That is, quote, not coming into or not going out of existence. Fusho fumetsu, end quote. Okay. And then the footnote that made me realize I was skipping footnotes is undefiled purity. The Taizo Sata, or matrix instructions, describes the relationship of the style ROM to the three sections. The matrix on the syllable ROM of the Buddha section is performed at the beginning of the matrix version of the meditation on the Bodhimanda. The meditation on the syllable ROM of the lotus section is accompanied by the mudra and dharani of manifestation of the Dharma world. And the meditation on the syllable ROM of the diamond section is the meditation described here. It is practiced in the rituals of both the matrix and diamond worlds. All right. Continuing with the actual text. Now, no longer reading footnotes for a little while. The mudra used in this meditation is either the diamond hand clasp or the fire chakra seal. The diamond hand clasp held at the heart is made by interlocking the fingers at the bottom joints, and the wrists are held apart so that the hands form the triangle of the element fire in the station of wondrous union, myogoji, which is the non-dual union of the five knowledges and the five elements. The protruding fingers are the flames of the fire, and the mudra is made at the heart because this locates the fire chakra in the Siddhaka's body. The fire chakra seal is performed by holding the two hands as diamond fists, or Kongo Ken, the thumbs within the palms. Oh, there's more of these, there's this thing that you're seeing above my head if you're watching this on YouTube is what I'm going, oh, this exists. All right. So we'll be referring to that, no doubt. Or maybe we already have. Okay. Held horizontally and the two index fingers extended to touch at the tips so as to form the triangle of the element fire. Footnote 25. The mother sign wasn't the last footnote we read, 22. How did we manage to skip two footnotes already? The mother sign of this mudra is the Buddha mind seal. Ah, also called the seal of great knowledge of identity. Which mudra? I'm curious. Element fire. Okay, the fire chakra seal is the Buddha mind seal. It reminds me of how Master Dogen, in a different form of Japanese Buddhism, Zen, based on Chan, very, you know, distinct, let's say, from Shingon and Vajrayana, says that lotus position, sitting in lotus position, is the Buddha mind seal, which inspired me to take up a yoga practice and become a yoga teacher so that I could sit in lotus position. But good thing I learned that instead of this, because then I would just be going, oh, okay, all right. Sorry. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close there. Oh, no, I didn't finish. All right. Okay, no, we're not closing yet. Not yet. So the footnotes that I skipped, 23, the fire chakra seal is the same as the seal of the manifestation of the Dharma world. Okay. 24, There is another tradition concerning the matter of making this mudra, which says that the two palms are simply clasped as in the hand of the mind of firm truth, hand clasp of the mind of firm truth, also called the Nabina hand clasp, which is one of the 12 hand clasps. It is made by raising the hands and pressing the palms firmly together so that the tips of the 10 fingers are slightly apart. It derives its name from the fact that the space between the palms represents the mind, which is firmly held in this seal. Okay. I can't help but want to try that. So, hands, palms pressed firmly together and fingertips slightly apart. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. And the other footnotes we read. The Dharani is also shortened to Nama Ram, or just simply Ram. Okay, that's where we're going to close today. And, whoo-wee. All right. Okay. I know some folks are watching this because they really, really, really like Shingon. I don't dislike Shingon. It seems like there's going to be a but there. I find it interesting that it's as popular as it is, but it has a kind of concentrated popularity where very, very few people are intensely interested in it. I find that interesting. I'm not sure why. I tend to suspect, and maybe I'm wrong, that, other forms of Buddhism strike people as too simple. But the simplicity of the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path is what I keep coming back to. And the center of the mandala, I know that's an om in Tibetan, but in this metaphor that I'm making, all the various traditions, all the various forms, all the various manifestations, Madhyamaka, Mahayana, Zen, Chan, Vajrayana, here and there. And it's interesting that there's like 17 different forms of Shingon, and it's saying, well, according to this school of Shingon, you do it this way, and according to that school of Shingon, you do it that way. And of course, it makes me wonder, what did Kobu Daishi teach? And did the person who taught him accurately, bring the knowledge from Nalanda? I mean, does that matter? Does it matter whether you do this or this? Ultimately, I don't think it does. But it's interesting and perhaps can serve as a kind of distraction from the point. In other words, if you're getting attached to one mudra over another, or one practice over another, or one form of Buddhism over another, then aren't you kind of missing the point of the teachings of Buddhism? I don't know. These are just the random thoughts of one doofus over in India. That's me. That's where I am in India. Not to brag, but no. Anyway, that's a whole other story. No, it's the same story. When I was in Japan in 2014, I strongly felt, because I, at that time, had been healed by, Dogen, and that I wanted to, examine and dive deeper and deeper into this particular thing that I was interested in, because my dad was interested in Tibetan Tantric Buddhism, but I found myself more drawn to Japanese Zen at that point in my life. And anyway, so it was very interesting to discover Shingon while I was in Japan in search of a deeper connection with Zen. But the thing that I discovered everywhere I went was the Sanskrit that there was always on the plaque on the you know, there'd be a statue or there'd be something, and then there'd be a description underneath, and it would explain the Sanskrit origin and the Japanese name for the Sanskrit deity, or, you know, the Indian deity. And then the other thing was, I'm trying to remember, there's a shopping area that it's something bridge, it's the Japanese word for bridge, but anyway, in Osaka. And yeah, there was a shop there that was selling like Indian things, and they had a giant statue of Ganesh, and I had never seen there's a few shops, of course, in California and that I've seen in US that sells Indian things specifically like that, religious items and whatnot, but nothing is big or reverent. I know there's a lot of racism against Indian folks here and there in Japan, but in the midst of that, among the Buddhists anyway, or at least on one level, there's also a great deal of reverence and a great deal of love. And in Dogen's scriptures, he talks about it's the Western heavens, you know. And so that all of these things reoriented me toward what eventually led me to India, where I met my now wife and where I've lived for 7 years now. Has it been almost 8 years? All right, anyway, I hope everybody's doing well. Sorry to wax personal and whatnot. It's always a struggle with Buddhist Books Podcast, because I feel more like I should be making it a certain way and I should be avoiding certain things, but I'm in this specific episode, I'm choosing to ignore that and to say what I want to say without stopping to think, oh, well, but this, that, no, I shouldn't do, you know. So, because that's what I'm doing. And anyway, I do hope whoever you are and wherever you're at in life that you are doing well. And I do hope you enjoyed this, but if you didn't, oh well, you know, is what it is. Smash that dislike button, as they say, as Simon Whistler says. All right, I'll go ahead and do our usual closing. Wish you the best. And next time it'll be 3:16, so we'll be back down to earth. Back down to Bihar, India, and back to the very simple, that monk slapped that monk. What's the punishment for that monk? The monks should not speak to that monk until he apologizes. Let's have soup, you know, or kanji, you know, very down to earth, pre-sectarian early Buddhism. Also not the point, but also orbiting it on a different axis. A different part of the spheres, the multi-dimensional spheres of the different forms of Buddhism orbiting around the point. Okay, I'll go ahead. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.